1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Could they hear that on live stream? Oh, cut out? Is it back on now? All right. The title of the message tonight is The Show Must Go On. This church must show the town of Florence exactly what it needs to see. And number one, it needs to see the power of God. Amen? So let's go to, as we mentioned just earlier, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. When you get there, say amen. 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 The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You know, some people are, when things happen in life, they get scared. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Pastor Storm's gone. What are we going to do? And kind of like people bumping into each other and freaking out saying, what are we going to do? Well, God is not dead. Amen. God has not abandoned us. God is with us. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So don't be afraid and don't be fearful. Satan would want people to be scared of what's going to happen. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and a sound mind. So let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless our message tonight. Father, thank You for these dear folks here at Florence Baptist Church. Thank You for the legacy that Pastor Storm left behind. And God, we know that this work must go forward. And God, we know that we must show forth the praises of Him that called us into service. We must show a lost and dying world Your power. We must show the people of Florence that, God, this work is going to continue even in a stronger way for the honor and glory of God. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. If there's anyone here tonight that does not know You as Savior, I pray tonight would be the night of their salvation. Thank You again for a wonderful service this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the gentleman that was saved this morning, the three that were baptized. Lord, we just pray that You would continue, Lord, to show forth, God, Your power in this work. So bless this time we have together now. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Show forth the power. God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound what? Mind. You know, sometimes people don't think straight when things happen. And you've heard of a mental breakdown. You've heard of panicking. You've heard of people not holding it together. And like, I'm fearful, I don't know what to do, anxiety attack, a panic attack. That is something that we don't have when we have God's power on us. Amen? Now, go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Is there anything God cannot do, ladies and gentlemen? Is there anything He can't do? Sometimes we put limits on God. Oh, there'll never be another Pastor Storm. Well, quite obviously, because there was only one of him, amen? But there'll be somebody that can do the work and do it. You know, people say that about me. Oh, Pastor Hughes, if something happened to you, who would ever replace you? Well, yeah, you're a big guy. Yeah, you'd have to have two guys to replace me. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, God can do more than you think. God can do more than we ask. God can do more than we think He can do. And He can do more than we ask Him. Think about that just for a moment. If we think God can't do it, we're putting limits on God. And we have a God that has unlimited power. Amen? Unlimited power. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the, say it with me, power that works in us. God's Holy Spirit can do more than we think or ask. He can lead the right man here. He can lead this congregation in unity. He will do what this church needs. So we need to show God's power. You know, you fold up and you go home and you pack up and you say, oh, that's it, done. Is that showing God's power? No. That's showing the defeat of the devil. And we know the devil would want to make us doubt. The devil would want to make us fearful. The devil would want us to think that God is limited. The devil would want us to think that God can't possibly provide somebody to run the food bank, run the school, run the church, win souls, do everything that Pastor Storm did. But you know, all Pastor Storm was doing was what he was called to do. I do the same thing. And any pastor that has a heart for God and loves God and has the power of God on him can do the same thing. Amen? So we don't want to limit God, so we need to show forth God's power. And we've seen that over 20 years here at Florence Baptist. His power in providing a building, His power in a school, His power of sending people in here. I got the story of the guy in the sound booth. What's your name again? Robert. Robert was over in Surprise, and you really didn't know anything about Florence Baptist Church, did you, Robert? But he wanted a Christian school for his kids. Do you know how far Surprise is from here? How many? 98 miles. So 200 miles round trip. So there's a guy named Robert and his little family over in Surprise. He was in his pool. And Pastor, he was checking for a private school for his kids. Just checking around. And he saw Florence Baptist Academy. And he's over in Surprise, 100 miles away. And God moves Robert here and his wife and the kids. Only God can do that. Only God can provide. Yeah. And they had been, you had been saved when you got here, correct? Do you know how rare that is to get saved people coming in? Pastor Storm had to scratch a lot of people right out of the dirt. Lift them right out of the miry clay. Put their feet on a rock and a song in their heart. And this church has led a lot of people to the Lord. So when you have people come in that are already saved, already discipled, already want to serve, that's the power of God. You think God knew what was going to happen? You think God knew Robert would be a blessing? Are you the guy that laid this carpet, Robert? Yeah. Did God? Yeah. Our truck picked up the carpet. Pastor Storm was going to drive that food bank truck with no air all the way to Phoenix and pick it up. And I said, "Oh, no, don't do that. Let us go get it. We have air conditioning in our truck and we'll bring it out. And just tell us where it's at. We'll haul it for you." And so God's power provides just what we need. Amen? So we got to show that power. We have to show the world the power of God. That He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And He can do more than we think or ask. You know, can God make a rock so big He can't lift it? God can do more than we think or ask. So the best thing that you think God can do, He can do more. He's got the power. Number two, the show must go on in that we not only show forth the power of God, but we show forth the purpose of God. How many believe God has a purpose? And He has a plan, and He has a person, and He's got a purpose for this church. Go with me to Isaiah 43 and verse 21. Isaiah 43, 21. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has power. In Isaiah 43, 21, the Bible says, when you get there, say amen, please. He wants us to show forth not only His power, but His praise. In verse 21, "This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my" what? "Praise." You know, the Bible says that we need to praise God for what He's done. And we have to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And we praise Him for what He's done and the purpose that He has for us. Look at Psalm 106 and verse 2, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 106 and verse 2. Bible says in Psalm 106 and verse number 2, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise. I'll tell you who can. Florence Baptist can. Amen? The people of Florence Baptist. You've been blessed. Blessed with a wonderful pastor. You've been blessed with a nice facility. You've been blessed with good ministries. Blessed with a school. You can show forth His praises. If the redeemed of the Lord can't say so, who can? The lost man is not going to show forth His praises. We are to show forth His praises. We are to show forth His power. And He has a purpose. We got to show the purpose of God. Go to Matthew 28 and verse 19. You know, it's been said in anything, keep the main thing the what? Main thing. What is the main thing here? Winning souls, teaching, discipling, feeding people the gospel with a sandwich, feeding them. Matthew 28, look at verse 19. Matthew 28, 19. The whole purpose. Matthew 28, 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You have to teach somebody how to be saved before they'll be saved. You have to present the gospel. Then you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What do you teach them? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So you go forth, you teach them how to be saved, you preach to them, then you baptize them, and you disciple them so they can serve God. Amen? So really, it's not rocket science, but the purpose, when you lose sight of the purpose, you lose sight of what God sent Pastor Storm to Florence for. He came to tell people about Jesus. And He came as Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to do a work for God. He had a purpose. And God had a plan. And God had a man. Amen. And God's power was on that man. And we praise God for it. Amen. Amen. We need to not only show God's power, we need to not only show God's purpose, but we need to show people the perpetuity of God's church. You say, what's perpetuity? Is that something like puberty? No. Perpetuity is a $5 word that means the continuance. The continuance, the perpetuity means it starts and it continues on. It doesn't stop. It keeps going and going and going. Go with me to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. The perpetuity of the church. The continuation of the church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus said to Peter, in verse 18, He said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. Peter is Petros, little pebble. But He said, upon this rock, pointing to Himself, Jesus is the massive rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall what, ladies and gentlemen? Not prevail against it. Jesus said, I'm building my church on me. I'm the foundation. Peter, it's not being built on you. You're a little pebble stone, Peter. You're a little rock. I'm the massive rock. Jesus is our rock, and our name is on the roll. That's the only rock and roll that'll be in this church. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So the perpetuity of the church is that Jesus is building His church, and it will continue on. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. You know, I'm so excited for Florence Baptist, I could charge hell with a water pistol. I'm just so excited because I know God's going to do something big. And anticipation. You know what anticipation is? That's when you're planning on going on that trip to Disneyland or you're going on that trip somewhere. And half the fun is the anticipation because when you get there, you're shot and you're broke. But you know, but half the fun is getting ready to go. Getting ready to go and anticipating what God is going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't exactly know how God's going to do it. And I don't exactly know who He's going to get to do it. but I know He's going to do it. Amen? Because it's His will, it's His purpose that the church continues on. And you say, well, we got to build the church. Yes, we're instruments of God, but ultimately, who's building this church? Yeah, it's God's church, not ours. It's God's. And once you see that this church belongs to God, you want the best for this church. The church is God's wife. The Bible calls the church Jesus' what? Bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. That's why if somebody messed with your wife, you're like, That's why, hey, the church is God's bride. And He protects it. He takes care of it. He provides for it. And that's why He says, my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The devil will raise his ugly head and try to come in with some garbage thoughts. But the gates of hell won't prevail against the church because it has the power of God on it. And the church has a purpose. And the church is praising God. Do you know God inhabits the praises of His people? Do you know the church is the pillar and ground of the truth? You know, the Bible says the church is a living organism. The church is made up of the people. We're lively stones. The church is commissioned to do God's work on earth. The church is an embassy of heaven. The church is a lighthouse. The church is to continue on. And the church is to have God's power on it. The church is to fulfill the purpose that God has called the church to do, to win souls, baptize, disciple people. We need to show the perpetuity and the power and the purpose and the praise of the church. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to show the passion of God. We need to show the passion of God. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Pastor Storm was a very compassionate man, and he'd help you no matter what. We have an unwritten rule at our church where if we think somebody's going to go buy drugs or booze or smokes, we don't give them cash. We'll take them to a gas station, put some gas in their car, and we'll always give them food. And you know, sometimes you have to be careful that your care button doesn't break and you get hardened because you're helping so many people. And sometimes after a while you think, oh, they're just using me. Oh, they're just taking advantage of us. I like Pastor Storm's policy. He said, help them all and let God sort them out. Kind of like shoot them all and let God sort them out in the war. Who's the enemy comes. So those guys in Vietnam, and they would have somebody would be trained to talk like an American. Hey, Charlie, give me a cigarette. And they didn't know if it was the enemy or not. We have to be on our toes because the Bible says He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom He may devour. Be vigilant, be sober. The Bible says we are not ignorant of His devices. We have to be careful. And yes, we have to have compassion. We have to be passionate. And look at what the Bible says in Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9 and verse 36. The Bible tells us, but when He saw the multitudes, I can imagine when Pastor Storm came to Florence 20 some years ago and looked around town and thought, man, these people need a church here. They need a shepherd here. They need a preacher here. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with, say it with me, compassion on them. Because they fainted, they were worn out by sin. Sin has taken a toll on them. And they were scattered abroad. There was nobody to bring them in from the fields of sin. We sing that song, bring them in, bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. They were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And He looked at them and He had compassion on them. And not too many times in the Bible it says Jesus wept. But Jesus wept with compassion. You know, Pastor Storm had compassion. And we need to show people the passion. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 32, if you would. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Quite interesting in verse 32. The Bible says in Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Were these people hungry, ladies and gentlemen? Did Jesus have compassion on them? And did he give them some food? Yeah. You say, sounds like Pastor Storm. He tried to give me a semi-load of food Thursday before he died. I said, thank you for your concern and your care and your compassion, but I just don't have any room. My cup runneth over, my walk-in cooler. So we need to continue to show compassion, the church that cares, the passion. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. If you don't care, who will care? Luke 10 and verse 33, please. Luke 10 and verse 33. You know, sometimes we say, hey, you see anybody here that cares? You see anybody in here that cares? Yeah, I care. Amen. Can you say that? Do you really care? We sing the song. Does Jesus care? Does he really care? Does he really care about you? Pastor Storm cared. He had a big heart. It blew up. It was overloaded. He didn't die of a broken heart. He died of an exploded heart. It exploded with love. Amen? Guy had a heart of gold. He'd give you the shirt off his back. He would do anything. He had compassion and passion. Look at Luke 10:33. This reminds me of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Look at, jump up to verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Compassion. There wasn't a person Pastor Storm saw that he didn't have compassion. Didn't matter if he was community service, didn't matter if he was out on bond, didn't matter if he was going to prison, coming out of prison, didn't matter if they had relatives in prison, he had compassion. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. You know, a lot of people can see somebody, feel sorry for him, and say, oh, somebody needs to help him. And what do? They just walk right over. Just walk right around him. Right around him. I don't got the time. I don't want to be troubled. And I don't got the money either. Look at verse 34. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's what compassion does, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what this church needs to continue to do, to help those that are beat up by sin, beaten down. You know, it's funny how the rich and famous, they aren't interested too much because they don't really see their need, do they? But somebody that's a down and outer, and a lot of times we think, well, we're going to give them a handout. No, we're not. We're going to give them a hand up. Amen? And we're going to point them right to Jesus. We're going to point them right to Jesus. Now, when you have compassion on somebody, this Samaritan was beat up. This Samaritan was half dead. Well, the people in this area, in this world, they're beat up by the devil. They've got scars. They've got skull tattoos. They've got effects from a life of sin. And they've been left for dead. We need to have compassion. We need to preach the word and tell them that there's hope in Jesus Christ and love them. One of the things they accused Jesus of, that he was a friend of sinners. Yeah, he married Magdalene and Zacchaeus and the ripoff guys and the woman with the issue of blood, the sick, the halt, the maimed, the lame. He loved them all. It didn't matter how big of a sinner they were. Jesus loved them. The woman caught in adultery, He said, go and sin no more. You know, that's the wonderful thing about having a pastor like Pastor Storm. He'll love you where you're at, but He loves you too much to let you stay where you're at. And He wants you to stay right with God. That's one thing you got to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Not only do we have to show the power of God and the praises of God and the purpose of God and the perpetuity of this church and the passion of God's heart to this community, but we need to show the providence of God. How many believe God will provide? He will provide. Go to Philippians 4:19. God will provide. The providence of God's supply. God has supplied everything this church needs. And, you know, when people say, well, God isn't providing, well, you got to say, are you wasting the resources God has given you? Are you good stewards of what God has given you? Philippians 4 and verse 19, please. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And remember when we said God can do more than we think or ask? You remember that? I got to tell you a quick story of Philippians 4:19. This missionary down here, Peter Mord, I've known him, what, 5 years, 6 years? He would be in town on furlough from the Philippines, and he'd come by our church. And he would tell me about his ministry in the Philippines. And we had some missionaries in the Philippines, so we like to try to get a missionary in a whole bunch of different countries, and as if the Philippines only needed one. But they need as many as they can, right? So he'd come by, no kidding, 3-4 times. We became friends. We would go out to eat, his wife, my wife, and he would just stop by. And in the back of my mind, it sometimes... I thought, maybe we should support this guy. He's bugging me. And he never would come out and ask for it. And he even brought, didn't you bring a missionary to church? He brought, and didn't we support them both? Yeah, he brought two missionaries we supported, but never supported him. Say, that's mean, Pastor Hughes. Well, he never really asked for support, but he brought these other guys, now that you bring it up. So the last time he was at our church, he got up. I said, why don't you give us a missionary moment? Give us an update on what you're doing in the Philippines. And so he gets up behind the pulpit and he says, yeah, we're going to start some churches in the Philippines. And the Philippines economy is so cheap that we can feed a Filipino pastor and start a church and get a building for what, $2,000? $2,500. We can do it all. We can. Was it support him for a year or 2 years? Two years for $2,500, he could support, and we'll start as many churches as we can. We just need this money. And I thought, that sounds good. I said, and in the back of my head, I thought, maybe we should raise $2,500 and support a Filipino pastor for 2 years, support his salary, his food, his building, everything. Man, that's cheap. 24 months, that's how much a month? That'd be about $100 a month. Yeah, $100. And I thought, man. Yeah, so... long story short, him and I, after church, were in the office talking, and I said, do you have any needs? He goes, well, I need a car. And he said, my car out here has what, 200,000? 280,000 miles. And it, plus it was hail damaged so bad, it was probably ready for the junkyard. It had problems. And he said, but you know, I found this other car, and I'm just short on some money. I'm trying to buy it, and I'm going to tell the guy I'm going to buy it, and I have a few supporting churches, and I thought, well, maybe we can help you get this car. And I'm just thinking in my head, right? And then I'm still thinking of these Filipino pastors. Well, Sunday night in our church, there was a guy there. He's not a member, but he comes, but he usually does not come Sunday nights. I kid you not. Sunday morning only. Been coming for years and years and years. And he heard Brother Moore get up and say about this Filipino pastor that. And so the offering comes into the regular offer. Well, no, the guy calls me. He calls me. And he said, yeah, I'd like to give some money to that missionary from the Philippines. And I said, oh, great. Because I was thinking of doing that too. But I hadn't. We were just talking. I said, "How much do you want to give him?" And he goes, "Well, write him a check tonight for $20,000." And I'm like, I was like, "You want me?" No, I'm just kidding. No, of course it really happened. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. God can do more than we think or ask, right? So the guy says, write him a check for $20,000 tonight, and I'll bring it by tomorrow, or I'll send it through the website. And I'm like, what if I wrote the guy a check for $20,000 and the guy fell over dead between now and the morning? I call up his wife and say, "Oh yeah, your husband said he was going to give us $20,000. Well, he's not here; he's gone. I said, "Well, we already gave him the $20,000." So, long story short, he gets his car, he gets the money for all the Filipino pastors, starts the churches. How many of you started since then? 6 so far. He gets the 20G. He takes his old car and he goes, "I don't know what to do with this old car. It's junk. It's not worth this." Then didn't I buy it from you?
No, I gave
it. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You tried to buy it.
Yeah, I said, "Well, let me give you $500 for extra. You can do tax license on that car." Well, there was a guy in our church who was an evangelist that just had a big truck that needed a car. So we gave it to him. So the evangelist in our church got his car with $280,000 with the hail damage on. He's got a beautiful car sitting in the parking lot that I drove here with. The Filipino pastors got their money. So all I'm telling you is, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And when you think of that, that he had came 5 or 6 times, 5 or 6 years to the church, didn't get taken on for support, brings missionaries to the church, we take them on support, and I don't know whatever was going through his mind, like, doesn't this guy like me? And then God rewards him with 20 grand. You can't make this stuff up. Amen?
Amen.
So don't underestimate the power of God, the providence of God, because God wants the perpetuity of those churches to go on. And God gives us something to praise him for. Amen? And God, it shows God's heart that God has a passion for souls. And God has a purpose. And he has a plan. And he uses people. Amen? He uses people. I would have to tell you, Brother Moore, that was the biggest missionary offering that we'd ever had in our church for one single person. Was it the biggest offer you'd ever got?
Yeah.
You probably get 20 grand every Sunday. No. So God multiplied it by 10 times. Our God is so great, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Amen?
Amen.
He can do more than we think or ask. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God that's not limited. We serve a God that has all the power. He has all the money. He has all the riches and glory. He is full of mercy. He's full of love. And he will do what he does because he's sovereign. He is sovereign. You know, God knew what was going to happen. God knew Pastor Storm was going to go to glory that Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. God knew that. We didn't know that, but God knew that. And some of you have told me that Pastor Storm, you think he had a premonition just by the way he was preaching the last few days. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We thank God. We thank God for his ministry. We thank God for the future of this church. And by God's grace, it's going to be singing, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory, beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, what do you want to show through this church to the people of Florence? Do you want to show them passion? Do you want to show them the purpose, the power of God? Do you want to show them how God can provide? Then we have to trust God. We simply have to trust God. And if we will trust God, God never, never fails. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says that God will meet all of the needs of Florence Baptist according to His riches and glory. You're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor Hughes, I'm going to trust God that He is going to take care of Florence Baptist Church. And I'm going to do my dead level best to pray, to help, to serve, strive for unity, and be what I need to be for Christ. If God spoke to your heart that way, friend, would you just slip your hand up tonight? Yep, yep, all over the place. Yep, all over the place. We're going to have our invitation, and whatever God laid on your heart, if you need to come to this altar and pray, pray in your seat. As Kevin comes up and sings just maybe a couple of verses of I Surrender All or Just As I Am, what song do you usually use?
Is I just sang it this morning. I don't remember. Jesus paid it all.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Amen. We'll do verses 1 and 2.